Acts chapter 16 and verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you'll just be with us tonight through your word. Minister to us. Help us to understand what you would say to us and speak to our souls and to our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God, brother, if you want to bring up that PowerPoint. Tonight, I would like to speak on the topic, from fear to freedom. From fear to freedom. We live in an age where so many people are running to and fro. We live in a time of unprecedented, unsettling moments of history. We can never be certain of anything. And I would say it's probably an epidemic that's running and ruining the lives of many people across this globe, even now as we think about it. It's destroying the lives of Christian men and women. And it's called fear. Fear. And tonight I want to speak on a topic that's very broad and very reaching. We could be here all night, but I've only chosen a few things, so you can all sigh in relief for that. But according to the dictionary, you know what fear is? It says it's an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. Our fears are our perceptions on things, circumstances, even environmental, which we feel to cause us danger, cause us pain, or maybe even harm. You know, there are approximately, and I did an online search, and there's no limit to what you can find online when it comes to this topic. But one site I went to, there was over 500 listed fears. And that list keeps growing all the time. It becomes exponential. It keeps getting more and more. More people try to find something to be afraid of. And there's a name for a fear. It's phobia. Fear of being afraid. How ridiculous can you get? The top 10, however, the list of fears of the top 10 on one website I went to. Fear of flying. Who's afraid of flying here? Well, fear of public speaking. Even our pastor puts his hand up on that one. So do I. Public speaking doesn't come natural. It doesn't. I don't care what people say, it's not natural to get up in front of 100 people and start talking. Sister Brooke, would you like to come up and... The next one, fear of heights. Well, I've got to say, I have some hesitation with heights after the fall off the ladder out the front here. But God's good. God's good. Fear of the dark. Yeah, kids especially, fear of the dark. Next one, we're a bit closer to home, fear of intimacy. Wow, top 10. Fear of death. Yep. As a kid, I struggled with it. You know, as a little boy, I thought, I don't want to die. I've got 65 years ahead of me. But we do. We think about this sort of stuff and become afraid of it. Fear of failure. Yeah, I put my hand up on that one. Fear of rejection. Fear of spiders. Okay, woo. And lastly, fear of commitment. Thanks, Brother Jason. Has to be one, anyway. All these fears are common fears, all of them. We have it all at one stage or another felt. These fears arise within us. They're common. As I look on the list, one stands out to me in particular, which is spiders. And a lot of us put our hands up to this one, fear of spiders. And you know, I look at spiders and I think they're cute little eight-legged furry things, eyeballs that look everywhere, you know. You can pick one up and pat it. You probably would too, knowing you, but anyway. But wait a minute, you couldn't possibly think to have one of these as a pet, could you? Big furry spider. Kids, have you fed the spider this morning? Do you imagine it? Kids? Have you fed the spider? Yes, Dad, it loved the budgie. I can understand getting the heebie-jeebies with this one. But you know, I have not heard a conversation go like that about spiders in our household. You know how a conversation normally goes with spiders in our household? Ah! Darling, there's a spider in the bedroom on the wall! And my response, which irritates my wife quite a lot, and I do it a lot, that's nice. Her response, nice! Kill it now! That's the usual conversation with spiders. But at the end of the day, that fear's been conquered with a newspaper, a shoe. And if you're my wife, with a can of spray, the spider represents an eight-legged snowflake when you finish. But the point is, fear isn't healthy. It isn't. We can agree to that. And getting someone else to deal with your fear isn't healthy either. Such as those who find spiders first should deal with spiders first. Okay, I'm getting the look there. But the scripture here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given but of power and of love and of a sound mind." In the NLT it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity." Or, if you want another word, cowardice, but of power, love, and self-discipline. One thing we can say is the spirit of fear is not from God. God doesn't give us that spirit, it tells us in that scripture. All those fears in the list we have just read, they're not healthy fears. Just because they're common doesn't mean they're right. They are fears which can paralyze you in your walk with Jesus. All of them. Yeah, fear of spiders. Fears in themselves are a response you give as a result of personal experiences. They have affected you in some way in your lifetime. They have affected you in some way. And my point is, babies are not born with fears. They don't have one attached to them when they come out. Oh, look, here, little Rex. He's scared of heights. He's not even a day old. Babies don't have them. Somewhere along the line, they developed a fear through an experience that they had. And that's why it's important to do this. Recognize it. What it is. Call it out. Be curious about it. Don't be backwards or shy about it. There's nothing wrong with being curious about your fear. The more you explore it, the more you become aware of it. And then you can face it. One thing that I've noticed over the years with living for the Lord, and this is with people, until the person or people can acknowledge that there is a problem, nothing can be done to resolve it. Nothing. In fact, I have seen the problems blow up and become worse, including in my own life. I had to acknowledge there was something wrong first. Denying anything, denying that you have a problem, will only cause greater problems further down the road. Having said this, I want to call out four fears from the list that we looked at tonight. Four of them. Number one, intimacy. Often we think of this word as being sexual in nature, but it's not. Being intimate with somebody doesn't have to mean that at all. You can be intimate with someone in being close to them, being vulnerable, being open, being intimate. And so many people have a fear of this because they don't want to feel like they're being exposed. They don't want to feel like that everyone can see in. But you know, Jesus wants to be intimate with us. We can't afford to be fearful of being intimate. Because if we do, we struggle in our relationship with Jesus. We struggle in our relationship and walk with our God. God wants to be close to us. He wants to be a personal God, not some God that's afar off, not some God that's in the distance, but he wants to have that one-on-one connection with you and with me. We can't be drifting, but he wants us to be intimate. And I'm praying tonight that if you struggle with this, that you would connect with Jesus before you leave this place tonight, that you would reconnect to him and find that loving relationship with Jesus. Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt like this world was a big place and you felt very insignificant in it? Have you felt that? I've done that sometimes, just look back and I think, wow, this is such a huge place. But when I put my faith in Jesus and I decide to get back to the grassroots and reconnect, Jesus becomes bigger than this place. He becomes bigger than my world. He becomes what I want him to be, and that is my God and my Savior. We need to be connected and intimate with Jesus. Then you will feel his complete and overcoming love. The next one, is the fear of failure. The fear of failure. You know, every man or woman in this world who has succeeded will tell you they failed first before they succeeded. They failed first before they succeeded. Now, who here was the guy that created the light bulb? Who made the light bulb? Who knows there? Who? Elliot? Edison. Edison, that's the one. Edison. Thomas Edison, yes. Thank you for the rehash there. I knew that, just testing. Thomas Edison. He failed many times to make the light bulb, to get it to work. They said, why didn't you give up? It was a complete failure. But he didn't see it that way. He just saw it 1,000 ways not to do it again until he did it the right way. And failure is not an impression on who you are. Failure tells me you are trying. You are endeavoring to be a better person. You don't want to be where you are right now. You want to succeed in God. You want to get somewhere for God. And yes, you will fail at times while serving the Lord. And there's been many occasions that I have failed and fallen short of the glory of God. But God is faithful. God is faithful. And he will forgive us. He will draw us close to him. He will strengthen us in due course. This is the God that we serve. Amen. We don't want to live a thwarted, stunted life. We don't want to have small ambitions. But I encourage you tonight, don't be afraid of failing. And I'm not telling you you're a failure. And I'm not going to tell you that you will fail. But in the times that you do, put your hands in the hands of God and believe that God's got better plans, greater plans for you. God will pick us up. He did say, the scripture tells us, he said, I am with you always. Always. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed because I know my God is there always. The third one is rejection. Rejection. I believe this is one of the greatest fears Christian people have. And this about everybody outside in the world has as well. We have suffered with it. Rejection has no friends. It has no friends. It stems from wanting to be accepted and feeling the love of others and making sure nothing that you do will put that at risk. Let me say that again. It stems from wanting to be accepted and feeling the love of others and making sure nothing you do will put that at risk. Rejection can come in from so many different angles, so many different ways, physical, emotional, psychological, even environmental. A lot of insecurity issues come under this category. Nobody likes the feeling of rejection. Who here loves being rejected? No? At work, I get asked, because some people will put their timesheets incorrectly, I get emails, Aaron, can you please reject my timesheet? And sometimes my humor gets the better of me and I write back, you've been rejected. I get thanks. They know what I mean. But we don't like that feeling of rejection. Nobody does. We don't like the feeling that perhaps we're not being accepted or loved for who we are. And ladies, Facebook. Yeah, you know what it is. I've been unfriended. Yeah, we all get unfriended. Disliked. And I'm not going to pay you out here, but don't live on an unfriend. Live with a friend in Jesus. Live with a friend in Jesus. Because it doesn't matter out there. Who doesn't like you? It doesn't matter out there what happened. But as long as you put your trust in Jesus, you know, this rejection will never be a problem. Jesus was rejected for your sake. He was rejected for my sake so that we could come to him boldly before the throne of grace, that we may come to him and cry out before him and put our needs before him and put our love before him and worship him for who he is and for what he has done. This is the God that we have in this place tonight. He's not going to reject you. He's not going to cast you off. He's not going to call you something else, but he's going to call you by name. He's going to bring you to himself once again so that you don't feel the fear of rejection anymore. I want for you to overcome that fear. I want that. But you need to run to the one that can help you, to the one that will carry you through your storms, to the one that will laugh with you through your blessings, to Jesus. With Jesus, you'll never be rejected. And last one, commitment. Commitment. You know, for many years, Pastor, I struggled with this, and I'm not the only one, but commitment is a hard word to live with. Not only is it a hard word, it's hard to deal with. Men in particular suffer more than this than women. Yes, men. The reason I say that is because I speak from personal experience. I know. The fear of commitment is very real. It's very real. And it's soul destroying. You know why? Because The whole Christian walk is based on it. Living for God is based on commitment. If you have a fear of it, then your walk with God will be forever outside the bounds of what He's planned for you, His purpose for you, what He wants for you. Because you can't be committed. You're afraid of doing it. And you know, commitment means, yes, there's going to be additional requirements. There's things that you're going to have to do, things that you've got to evaluate before you proceed and go ahead. Commitment takes time and dedication. Yes, I'm afraid of doing that. I'm afraid of committing everything. But guess what? Living for God was never going to be easy. Doing things for God was never a straight path and never so easy to do it because everyone would be doing it. But the scripture says that he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Commitment is an endurance. Amen. Young men, don't even think about getting married until you can commit to God. Young women, look for a man who's committed to God. Amen. Say that again. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And in general, commitment, like I said, it's a requirement of serving God. It really is. It's a requirement. Jesus' command was very simple when it came to commitment. It wasn't any strings attached. It wasn't complicated. You know what it was? You know what Jesus said that was very simple? Take up your cross and follow me. That's it. Take up your cross and follow me. That's commitment. That's commitment. Take up your cross and follow me. Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3. Got it up there. You can turn with your Bibles if you want to. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. And the NLT simply puts it this way: God is our refuge and strength, always ready in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. What David was saying, would bring it. Whatever you got, just bring it. Because I know a God who's for me. I don't care what you're going to bring up against me. I've got nothing to be afraid of. There's no fear in this world that can come against me when I have Jesus walking by my side, when I have Jesus with me. You know, Psalmist wrote, David wrote, from experience. He was writing from experience. Don't think for a moment that when he went up against Goliath that he was all man. There was a child in there that would have said, boy, this guy's big. Don't think for a moment that when he went up against a lion and a bear, that it was just all easy peasy, swing the sling and it's over and done with. There was fear. Don't think for a moment that in his lifetime as he was being fled, pursued by Saul, as he fled for his life into the wilderness, that there was no fear. Don't think for a moment that when Ziklag was burnt to the ground and the Amalekites took all the wives and all the children, and that David's own personal men talked about stoning him, that there was no fear. David had learned through his life that in my God I will trust. He learned that I will not trust in chariots, I will not trust in horses, but I will trust in the Lord. David was confident in this one thing, and he knew that he would desire to be in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. If you want to know the key to overcoming your fears, if you want to know the key to get ahead of these things, that is to be in the house of God. That is to be in the presence of God. That is to be filled with the Spirit of Jesus. As we open tonight, and I did not plan to open with Acts tonight, with Paul. Paul and Silas in Philippi had just been beaten. And it wasn't just a nice slap on the wrist. They got a good beating for preaching the word. And then they were thrown in jail, not just into any jail, but into the innermost part of this jail. And Paul and Silas would appear by this stage have become acquainted with this sort of dishing out. But they had gotten a hold of something. Somewhere in their living for God, somewhere through all of this, they had got a hold of a purpose. They had realized that it didn't matter what the situation that was that came upon them. It didn't matter where they were and who they were with and how it affected them. One thing was certain, that Jesus was with them wherever they went. Yes. And in that cell, while they were shackled, while the prison doors were locked, while the guards were standing guard, they thought, well, what's left to do? And they begin to praise God. They could have dwelt on their fears. What's going to happen to us tomorrow? And that's what fear does. Tomorrow's coming. Woo! That's what fear does. But Paul and Silas didn't choose to do that. They started praising. They started singing. You know, they started getting into the worship. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds. Probably the song wasn't there then, but you got the drift. They probably began to sing the Psalms of David. Who knows what they did? I lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And they begin to sing the praises that were in the Word of God. And they begin to elevate Jesus to the place where he belonged, that is, in the highest place. That they placed him upon the throne. Even though they were in the cell, in prison, Jesus still sat upon the throne of their life. And they began to worship him and realized that even though they were bound in the physical, they were free in the spirit. And even though that they were stuck in chains and they were beaten, that this was only temporal. What they were looking for was eternal. And praise God tonight, if you were bound in chains, if you were in a prison cell through fear, if you were not certain what tomorrow brings, if you were not certain where you're heading and what's going to happen, I tell you right now, all you need to do is praise him. All you need to do is worship him. All you need to do is let go and let God have his perfect way. Call upon the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him. Don't wait for another opportunity. Don't wait for another moment. Let Jesus reside upon the throne of your life. Praise God. And this quote, saw a little girl touch a big bug. And she shouted, I conquered my fear. Yes. And calmly walk away. I felt inspired. If a little girl can do it, every single one of us here in this place tonight can overcome the bug. Every single one of us can. We can squish those bugs and go, yes, I've conquered my fear. And you can conquer it through Jesus tonight. If the musicians would come, if you want deliverance, if you want strength, then there's one thing you can do right now. And the psalmist wrote in 34:4, I saw the Lord. I sought the Lord. And he heard me. And he delivered me from all of my fears. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. It's time to seek the Lord. He is here to deliver, to give you that power, to give you love, and to set your mind in the right place. Power, love, and a sound mind. When you have conquered your fears, you will go from fears to freedom. Fears to freedom. And as Paul and Silas sang praises, those chains broke. The prison doors opened. They were free. And as this song that we've got about to sing, Glorious Ruins, when the mountains fall and the tempest roars, you are with me. When creation folds, still my soul will soar on your mercy. Next verse, brother. When the world caved in, still my hope will cling to your promise. Where my courage ends, let my heart find strength in your presence.